you for joining us for the Help for Wounded Spirits broadcast. We exist to help those wounded and suffering through life's trials. Here is our host and best-selling author, Doug Carriger.
Great to be back with you. We certainly hope this finds you well and in the arms of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He alone is worthy of our worship. We continue on with a verse-by-verse study, looking at the life of Christ and exegetically pulling out there, what does God have for us? Some points to ponder, some how do we can apply this to our life today, trying to make this as realistic as possible, doing it from different places in the country today. So I find myself in South Carolina where the main unit is. So this is where usually you'll always find me when we're putting together our broadcast. And our dear brother Kevin is still in Ocala, Florida. Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning, sir. Man, I so had planned on being at Fort Hood, Texas, and I know it's not called Hood anymore, and being down there and then going up to my home church in Wichita. But I had this opportunity to hang out east and go get some work done. You remember when I drove up to get a scan on my shoulder not real long ago. So, yeah, I'm hoping to get it actually under the laparoscopic knife pretty soon. But, yeah, that's left me in Florida and got meetings, and God's been good.
God had a plan there in Florida, and his plans are so much greater than ours. And so thankful we get to serve him. And so today we want to talk about the woman with the blood. We're going to go into much more detail in the book of Luke. But before we do that, I want to let you know that today's thought, or the name of today, is Persistent Faith. And we are going to deal with the woman who had the hemorrhaging from blood, or the miracle from the blood problem there. And but whenever we think about persistence, persistent faith, being all in, just not willing to give up, I'm going to be that person. I want to be that person, God, that's praying in the middle of the night for my friends, that's praying for Kevin's shoulder. Pray with us, friends, about Kevin. And there's a lot of things that got to fall into place for him to have that shoulder surgery. And I would ask that you would pray with us in that area. You know, the Bible says that word weary, when you get tired, when you're down, you know, I write, I'm just weary. And I'll tell you, some people call it burnout. But you know, you get tired, you feel a little bit depressed, you're oppressed. I mean, the world gets to you when you're weary. But look what the Bible says about that in Galatians 6:9. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And that word faint actually means if we don't give up, if we don't quit, if we're willing to just hang in there. You know, and over in Proverbs, it says, a just man falleth seven times, riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. So, you know, the Bible's here to remind us and train us and teach us and guide us, point us to God. And I'll say, if you faint not, folks, you're going to reap. If you faint not, if you trust in the seeds that are being planted by God, if you fall seven times, get up, brush yourself off, and keep going. No matter how many times you fall, just keep going. Just suck it up and know that you serve a God that's bigger than all of us. But I got to tell you, the spiritual warfare that we talked about earlier in the week, it's real. You have to make a decision. You have to make a decision. But ye brethren, over in 2 Thessalonians 3:13, be not weary in well-doing, brother Kevin. We got to keep going. We represent God.
Yes, sir. I heard a message years ago, be not weary while digging, and that was then with that scripture. It was kind of a strange message, but I get where it was coming from. But it was, you know, actually, it was biblical in that Abraham had dug wells, and then the enemy had filled the wells in the book of Genesis, and then his son Isaac digged again the wells that his father had dug. And I think maybe some of his progeny had to do some of the same thing. And those wells were a big thing. We have to not be weary in, well, I'm going to use the strange thought again, in well-doing, in well-digging, in that it is wearisome. When you do something and then, you know, you're trying to do something and Satan's undoing it as fast as you're doing it. Is that not discouraging? Wow. I mean, is not America discouraged right now? You go, you vote, and then as fast as you're voting, they're mailing stuff in, and they're signing up dead people. And it's just like, that is a recipe for despondency, disillusionment, discouragement, depression. And that's the way it is in our lives. And God said, be not weary in well-doing, like you said. That is the, you know, the mantra for our lives is, if you're doing right, don't say, okay, I'm done doing right. Because if you're not doing right, you're doing wrong. And it's never wrong to not do right. It's never right to not do right. It's wrong to not do right. And if you're not doing anything, oftentimes that's wrong, because your inaction creates action for the devil against Jesus Christ. So, you know, years ago, we were making headway in something, and it just felt like we're planning a church, and it was, you know, three steps forward, two steps back. And you're like, okay, well, I think we can manage with three steps forward and two steps back once you realize that dynamic. And, you know, we'd win a few people to Christ. And, you know, the statistic is you talk to 10 people, one of them will come to church, and then, you know, you talk to 100, you'll get, you know, one in 10 will come into church. But of that, you know, 1 in 100 would actually join the church. And there's different statistics for different times and different locations. But, you know, sometimes you're saying, okay, of the statistics, I'm just going to stay at it. I'll work with the reality of the statistic. But it sometimes there was, you know, just a real bad, you know, blindsiding trauma. And that's where, you know, maybe someone was running their mouth and took existing church members out. Boy, that's discouraging. You work so hard and you work with the statistics. You dig some wells and you're got some people that are serving God. And then your song leader, he quits because someone jaws with them. You know, someone's wagging their tongue and holding secret meetings. That just gets discouraging. And that's where God comes in and says, be not weary in well-doing.
Amen.
Just stay at it. Just stay at it, Doug. It's not easy, but the alternative is to quit. And if you're rowing upstream and you're saying to take a break, guess what? You're going downstream.
Yeah, that's really good. And it comes back to this thought that really this persistent faith, you know, people have faith in so many things. And I was listening to you speak, and certainly when Debbie and I planted our church, we lost our song leader twice. We lost two in a row, brother. We lost a Sunday school teacher in the middle of a Sunday school class. We had a woman try to move in with a married guy. I mean, you name it, it was there. But where there's faith, what do we have faith in? You know, and I can tell you, every one of those people that went weird on us had faith in all the wrong places. I remember years ago when I was in high school, we went up on a school trip to New York City. So if you lived close to New York City, that was kind of the go-to place when you're a kid, Statue of Liberty, you know, all those different places. And we were spending 2 days as high school juniors in New York City. And we were so excited that even though they put like six of us in a room, you know, and we were so excited. Yep. And I remember one of the guys was talking about astrology. And he was talking about how he always read astrology type of things. He always read these fortune tellers, like, you know, these different Dear Abby, or even worse than that, you know, what is your zodiac sign and from that sign. And I remember we pulled out, and a lot of you won't remember a phone book, but before computers, there were these huge, heavy yellow pages. And where we were in Manhattan, we were staying in this old, I think it was called the Eisenhower or something like that, and hotel and the Edison. While we were there in the Edison Hotel, I remember we looked down at the yellow pages and there were three books. And A was right there in that first book. We looked up astrology. And I'm going to tell you, you want to talk about people having the wrong faith. There were five complete pages filled out in the yellow pages of astrologers in Manhattan and New York City. Our persistent, you know, faith. We don't show faith in astrology. We don't show faith in zodiac signs. We don't show faith in men and women. Our faith is in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're all in. We trust when God allows us to plant a seed that one day we'll reap it. We trust in God and all that's said and done. And if you don't, you'll go crazy. If you don't, when those people leave your church, I mean, you cry. People say, oh, great, God flushed. Nah, the stupidest thing I ever heard. Someone left my church. I went up to my car and curled up like a baby and cried.
Mm-hmm.
Folks, God loves everybody. He loves every one of us. We have a persistence faith because he's God. Because he's God. Be not weary in well-doing. He's got your back, folks. If we faint not, we're not giving up. We're not laying down on the couch. We're going to be all in. We're going to be all in on this day. Hey, folks, hang with us. We've got to let these radio stations do what they got to do. And again, make sure you go out of your way to thank them for providing this for you. May God bless.
Doug will return shortly. Meanwhile, you're hearing this music while radio stations are identifying themselves and broadcasting advertisements.
So folks, as promised, we're going to dig into this lady with the blood issue, go to a deeper look at it in the book of Luke, chapter 8, verses 43 through 48. And we continue on with this persistence faith in a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any. You're looking at a situation where someone continuously went to every doctor of the day, continually went to any psychic, continually went to any astrologer, continually went to anybody who thought they could heal or do anything. And then somewhere along the way here, folks, after verse 43, before 43, she gets the word that Jesus is healing people. And man, let me tell you, there had been times, I'm sure, where she prayed, and there had been times when she cried. There had been times, I'm sure, where she was angry and begged out and said, God, I just want to be a normal lady. I want to have a husband. I want to have a family. I want to have a life. I don't want to have to deal with this. And then it says in verse 44, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood staunched it, ended. And Jesus said, who touched me? When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And Jesus said, somebody had touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me. And when the woman saw she was not hid, she came trembling, fallen down before him, she declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, daughter, be of good comfort, for faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. I'll tell you, when you're desperate, folks, you've got a new faith. When you're desperate, the Bible says to pray, with all prayer and supplication. And supplications, when it's you or one of your kids, you're down all in, heart in, head in, on your knees begging God. This woman's condition was totally desperate. 12 years without any relief. She lived for 12 years. And she knew, she had heard what Christ had done. She said, just, a mere touch of his garment can heal me. I think, I look at the way this woman looked at things, and I think there's humility there. I think there's determination. We're told in these verses there's a throng of people. There's people everywhere. They're teeming, T-E-E-M. They're everywhere. They're on top of each other, Peter said. And Jesus' awareness to know that someone touched him, someone needed help. And there's something cool that happened here, folks. This woman makes a public declaration. She testifies to what Jesus has done for her. She let the whole world know. If they didn't know by now, hey, I've had some problems. And I love the persistent faith of this woman. She sought out Jesus for healing and restoration, and he gave it to her. And sometimes, folks, we need a boldness in approach. Sometimes, folks, we need to be that person that's all in with God. that throws ourselves at his feet, at his altar, whatever the case may be, that prays with people in our church, that finds that group of people that'll carry us to our Savior, that'll pray for us. And acknowledging, there's so much there, folks, in acknowledgement. We talked yesterday about glorifying God, acknowledging what Jesus does for us, bringing glory and honor to him. And folks, you know, I don't think this lady just received physical healing. There's so much more going on here. She totally got spiritually healed. And folks, when you have a long-term chronic illness, when your best friend is ibuprofen, when your best friend is heating pads, man, when things are going on, sometimes if you're not careful, your heart, it can be bitter. Your heart can grow hard. You can go, oh God, I don't know why you did this to me. Instead of saying, God, I don't know why you did this to me, but let me use this for your glory. Let me use this. I think she was made whole, Kevin, spirit and physical.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That's so good. The reason that she touched him is because it says earlier, I just saw this while you were talking there. I looked up the word virtue, and this is two chapters earlier. It says, and the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue out of him and healed them all. So, you know, there was, Luke made it a point. Luke's a doctor. And Luke, in his gospel account, made it a point to mention that Jesus was going around and there was virtue basically leaking out of. Understand, Jesus, he has no leaks, but Jesus Christ came to earth to give out what man did not have. Virtue is something that man lacks. Virtue is a powerful character trait. You know, you cannot underestimate the power of virtue, honor, commitment, courage, loyalty, sacrifice, submission to authority, self-discipline. All those are virtues. Yeah. I think it was Bennett wrote the book of virtues. And the whole point is, the word is dunamis, which is where we get dynamite. It means the power, the explosive power of what's inside of Jesus Christ. And there went virtue out of him. That word out of him is means issuing out of him. So guess what? When we've got problems and we are leaking stuff out, you know, faster than we're replenishing it, we're in this declining situation. This woman, now understand, she was hemorrhaging. And that means that she was losing the ability, or losing her blood. She was losing blood. Now, where does blood come from? Well, it comes from bone marrow. Bone marrow makes blood. So as you're hemorrhaging, the bone marrow is struggling to keep up. And after a while, it just can't compensate. So you're starting to lose your life's blood. And I'm sure this woman was just pale and just terrible looking to see. And, you know, she was unclean because of this. She couldn't have a relationship with her husband. Certainly she had a husband, because the issue was probably one that followed childbirth. And the Bible addressed it in the Old Testament, how to, you know, how long you're unclean following childbirth. But it was known to her that Jesus Christ had virtue dripping from him, as it will. And so she's like, I've got this problem. And, you know, I'm trying to dig new wells and they're getting filled in as fast as I can dig them. I'm trying to make new blood cells and they're leaching out as fast as I can make it. And so here's a guy here, whatever is coming out of him, I want it. And that's faith. Yeah. Faith. Faith says, what he's got, I need. You know, the woman, the Syrophoenician woman, that Jesus said, no, I'm sorry, I don't have anything for you because you're not a Jew and I'm sent to the Jews. And she said, yes, but just the crumbs under the table like the dogs get. That's what I'll accept. And she didn't argue. She just said, you've got enough that a little bit is a little dab will do me. And, you know, that's the way it is faith. And that's the way it is with our need. Faith needs to remember that Jesus, you know, what if he could just leak some of that virtue our way, it's powerful. You know, nitroglycerin is powerful. A little dab will do you. You know, just one hand grenade will just take care of a lot of problems if you're in the trenches and if you're in the foxholes. And so this is what I want to do, Doug. You know, when I've been through my traumas of life, you know, I look back to one huge trauma, humongous trauma, that huge trauma. I had to just...
Hey, let's go ahead and hold that huge trauma to tomorrow, brother. Hey, folks, we are honored. We are honored that you would tune us in. Make sure you come back tomorrow about bold faith. We want to be able to talk about God's word, looking at another miracle about the two blind men and certainly how God took care of them. And folks, I'll tell you what, we're going to work on clock management. It's just, we are all over. When you are miles and miles apart and they're power washing outside your window, you just don't know what's going on, folks. But we sure do love you. Come on back tomorrow. May God bless you. Hey, with that smile.
Thank you for listening to our broadcast. At Help for Wounded Spirits, we believe the Bible and place great importance on you having a personal relationship with your Lord and Savior. The Bible delivers a clear and simple message of salvation, outlining how you can begin your personal relationship now. First, recognize that you are a sinner, as all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Second, understand that there is a cost to our sin, as the wages of sin is death. Third, realize that Jesus alone paid that price. To receive salvation, simply ask the Lord to save you in Jesus' name, while believing in your heart that He alone can save you, and He will. If we can help you with your salvation, or to direct you to a local church, please do not hesitate to contact us. For additional helpful resources, including our new TV series, more information, or to donate and support this crucial ministry, please visit us at woundedspirits.com. May God bless you.